It's good to be here once again. I want to say good morning to everyone as we're here to study God's Word and grow towards perfection, put it to practice in our lives, meditate upon it day and night, that we'll be strong and be able to fight off the devil. Enjoy the song service and the prayers should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, this is part two of the sermon, what God's Word will do for us. What God's Word will do for us. Amen. God's Word will teach us to get rid of negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's what it'll do. It will teach us to get rid of negative thoughts. And that's why we need to read God's Word every day. We need to search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Amen. We need to be like the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. And they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Amen. So God's word would teach us to get rid of negative thoughts. Now open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we will begin reading at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the verse is 3. Where Paul was writing to Christians. He was writing to the brethren there at Corinth. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And we all know from studying this, we walk in the flesh. We have fleshly bodies. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. So we walk in the flesh. But Paul says we do not war according to the flesh. We're not in a physical war. We're in a spiritual war. And then Paul tells us in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now the word strongholds means a fortress, a fortified place, anything in which one relies on or put his trust in. And it is this weapon, this mighty weapon, which is the word of God, and is able to pull down strongholds. Whatever people put their trust in, whatever is taking us away from God, the word of God is able to get rid of that. We don't put nothing before God. God comes first in our lives. But look at verse 5. As Paul is writing to the brethren here, casting down arguments or imaginations, the old King James will read, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Every thought. When those thoughts hit our minds, those thoughts that's against the word of God, Paul tells us that we need to get rid of those thoughts. Get rid of them. Mm-hmm. This would include guilt. When you don't repent it, that includes guilt. This would include doubt. This would include worry. Bringing every thought into captivity. Capture that thought. Handcuff it or whatever we need to do to get rid of it. Now Paul says casting down arguments, imaginations. Now I did look up the word here, imaginations, and that comes from the old King James. The word imaginations means the act or power of forming mental images of what is not present. That's what those imaginations are. Now, let me look at this again. The word imagination from the old King James, looking at that word, means the act or power of forming mental images of what is not present. There was the Temptations, that used to be my favorite group back in the day. And they wrote a song, "It's Just My Imagination Running Away With Me."
Amen.
I remember that. And the song and the men had pictured in their mind this beautiful woman that they wanted to marry, that he wanted to marry, and have children with her, and buy a farm and live out in the country and on this beautiful farm. But he said, "It's just my imagination. To be honest with you, the woman didn't even exist." He made that up in his mind. That's what imagination does. It will give you pictures of things that are just not even there. And Paul tells the brethren here, casting down imaginations. Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you take for instance, and I'm going to move on here. You can get a new job. You can start a new job. And in our minds, before we get there on Monday morning, we got imaginations of things that, bad things that could happen, and that stuff don't even happen. If you know what I mean. That we're not going to be adequate enough to do the job, and man, no telling what stuff goes through our mind, but that's not true. We're doing it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. Making up things that's not there. Every morning when you wake up, we need to empty out anything negative from the day before. If someone offended you at work and they didn't treat you right, it's easy to let that offense stay with you. I've been there on some of that. It can feel good to carry around a grudge for some people. I never did feel good about that, carrying around a grudge. See, like to me, it just weighs tons on my shoulders, on my heart, on my mind. So I never did really like to carry a grudge. But some people told me, said it feels good. But they're not Christians. They don't know. But you have to be disciplined and say, "No, I am not giving this offense any room, this grudge holding. I am not going to let it sour my day." You can let things like that just destroy and just mess up your day, holding grudges. Because you get through with this guy over here, then you go get gas in your automobile, somebody offend you over there. So are we going to hold grudges all day? No, we can't do that. That person hurt you once. Don't let that person continue to hurt you by holding on to the offense. Being offended is not harming the other person. It's harming you. It's taking up space you need for the good things that will move you towards your destiny. God knows what's best for man. And God said, don't hold grudges. And nobody's here holding grudges. I'm just preaching the gospel. And maybe those out there, this is good that we have it online. It's good for everybody. Let's say you woke up in the morning and thoughts of worry come. You woke up and here come worry hit you. How are you going to pay your bills? What if the medical report's not good? And I remember me taking some tests on a Friday. And they don't let you know on Friday. They let you know Monday or Tuesday. Here I am thinking about it. I just wonder how my tests are going to come out. Kind of worried about it a little bit. Shouldn't do that. How are you going to pay your bills? What if the medical report is not good? You'll never get out of this problem. Don't allow these negative thoughts in. Don't make the mistake of dwelling on them. Jesus said, He's going to be with us. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. So don't make the mistake of dwelling on them. Just say, no thanks. I know God is in control. He has me in the palm of His hands. He'll get me to where I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be. He's going to get me there. Take inventory of what you're giving space to. Life is too short for you to live with negative things holding you down. And that's what negative things will hold. It'll hold us down. When our minds stay on God because we trust God, He will keep us in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, I talked about that in one of my lessons. He's going to keep us in perfect peace whose minds stay on the Lord.
Amen.
Make room for the good things. I'm confident that if I make room and fill my cup with good things, see, there's not going to be any room for negative if I fill it up with good things. In Psalms 103, verses 1 through 14, let's look at Psalms, the book of Psalms 103. And it's a constant battle doing this. It's not easy, but it works if we would just continue to keep our minds on the Lord and in His Word. And when those negative thoughts hit us, just say no. No thanks. I don't have to think that way. I don't have to think negative. I can think positive. Psalms 103 and verse 1. And here we find the psalmist has seen God's mercy filling in his life. He's seen it over and over and over. David has. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See there? Don't forget His benefits. He says, bless the Lord. Means to praise and adore Him as the source of all blessings. This is a Psalm of David. He says there in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And He heals those spiritual diseases. When we repent, confess those, and repent to God, He heals us. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. That's His positive teaching right there. Good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, like the eagles is a comparison drawn from the enduring strength of the mighty bird. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And of course, we are not going to be kept young. We know that. The body grows old. The outward man perish. But the mind can become stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what Paul said. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. My body's going to break down, but my mind ought to be getting stronger.
Amen.
The Lord said there in verse, what the book says in verse 6, the Lord execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. That is, those who are oppressed unjustly. Of course, God's going to take care of them. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. See, God, he did not give up on Israel, and God won't give up on us. God knows we're working on our lives and we want to get our lives right. He's not going to give up on us. He knows us from the beginning to the end. In verse 9, he would not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Underscore that he would not always strive with us. This word strive means to contend or quarrel with us. In other words, when we repent of our sins and obey God, confess it and repent it, God is not going to continue to discipline and chastise us. He won't continue to do that. God don't hold grudges. He don't hold grudges. So when one repents, confess and repents, he's not going to just keep on chastising us. I think that's what he has referenced there. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Here David, he recalls what God has done for Israel in the past. He recalls what he's done for Israel in the past. In verse 11, for as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And we know in verse 11 there, we fear God by keeping his word. Our minds are bent towards serving God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, when God forgives us, he forgets. He just forget it. And that's the way that is. When he forgets. See what he says right there? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. So God, we see, he dedicates a fatherly love for his children. There's been times, I can remember, that you had pity on your children and you didn't spank them that time. You had pity on them. But we know there will be times that the spanking will have to come. But there's times we do have pity on them. Have pity on our grandchildren. For he knows our frame. He knows our form. He remembers that we are dust. That's all we are. We're dust. We die, we go back to the ground, we go back to the clay. God knows us because he created us. He knows us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. He knows us. For he knows our frame, our form. He remembers that we are just dust. That's all we are, brother. We go back from the dust we are to the dust we shall return. Amen. Now, as I look at this here, David says in Psalms 103 and verse 5, God fills my life with good things, so I will stay strong. David is teaching, if you and I empty out the negative, if you make room, God will fill you with good things. But we got to make room in our hearts for God. If you empty out worry, God will fill you with peace. If you empty out insecurity or negative things, things people have said about you, maybe me, God will fill you with confidence. My question is God trying to fill you with good things, but there's no room? He's trying to fill good things in people's heart, but if there's no room, he can't do that. We have to make room for that and get rid of some stuff. Is your container full of worry, regret, bitterness, and jealousy? Like I said, nobody's here guilty of that, but it's online. Why don't you start emptying that out? If someone did you wrong, you could hang on to that bitterness. Instead, you need to say, God, I forgive them. I've had preachers to do me in. I'd let that stuff go because it was affecting my work. I let it go. There's some things in life we just have to let go. Let God handle. You didn't just forgive. You made room for God to fill you with good things. See? That's when he'll give you beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. Perhaps you're in a tough season. We go through some different seasons and different times in our lives. The medical report wasn't good. You should be stressed and worried. Instead, you say, God, I trust you. You said you would never leave me, not forsake me. You just made room for God to fill you with healing. And even though if I go through some sickness, my body may not be healed, but my mind can be healed. You empty out the worry, and God will give you peace in the midst of the storms. If you empty out the worry, he's going to give you peace in the midst of the storms. Perhaps a co-worker got the promotion you worked so hard for. Envy and jealousy will come. I wish that were me. Sometimes we say that. I'm smarter than he is. I don't understand that. Instead of letting that jealousy stay, you need to say, God, I know you're no respecter person. You got the promotion for him, and I know you can do it for me. The good news is God doesn't run out of blessings. He will bless us. To get rid of the negative thoughts, we need to go to God's word. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 16. And I'm almost finished here. Where Paul is saying to the Ephesians, remember now, we need to cast down every thought and every imagination that come up against God's word, and we do this, the weapon is the word of God. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, we must be plugged into God's word to be strong. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, we've got to be plugged into God's word to be strong. If we're not plugged in, we're not going to be strong. You can relate some of this to a computer. If you don't plug the computer in and the battery's not charged, you're not going to have nothing. The battery's got to be charged up. We have to be charged up. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, we must be fully dressed as a soldier of Christ. You got to put on the whole armor of God. If a Roman soldier went out on the battlefield with everything on except his breastplate and sword, he dead. And that enemy can see that he don't have something covered. He don't have his breastplate covered. He don't have his sword. And that enemy would destroy him. And that's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. We must be fully dressed. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Be faithful to God and keep the armor on. Therefore stand, having girded your waist with truth. The truth is what we want. We don't want nobody telling us something's not true. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God wants us to use our feet to carry His word. He wants us to use our feet to do the right thing. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, I'll come back to that. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And either cut out anything that shouldn't be in our lives. The sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit. Supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. We need to pray for all the saints. And Paul says, and for me that utterance, Paul said, pray for me too. And for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. That means with confidence. To make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of this gospel. But I want you to kind of look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the shield of faith. In verse 16. It is by means of the shield of faith that we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. It seems that Satan is constantly throwing his fiery darts of doubt at us. He seeks to get us to doubt the Word of God. If he can get us to doubt the Word of God, that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. Man, we got to be smart at this. I think Paul also told those Corinthians, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We got to be smarter than him. He says to Eve, hath God said? Is this really God's word? Remember he was saying that to Eve in the garden. Throwing that twist of doubt, that voice, did God really say that? Mm-hmm. It's just like sometimes men ask the lady, are you married? And she said, yes, I'm married. Are you happily married? Tell that guy to get away from you. Just tell him to get away from you. That ain't none of your business whether I'm happily married or not. You get away from me. Many have been destroyed by the fiery darts of the wicked. God has given us many rich and precious promises by which we can become partakers of His divine nature. Don't doubt your salvation. You must make up your mind whether to believe the Word of God or the lies of Satan. The armor, we have it. We just have to put it on every day. We have God's word. We have the protection. But we just have to use it. If you out there, those of us here are Christian, and those who are out there, if you're not a Christian, God's word will save your soul if you listen and if you would obey. One must hear the gospel. One must believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men and be buried with him in baptism. And if you are out there and you have doubt in your heart, don't doubt the word of God, because God's word is right and it's right every time. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, please come while together we stand and sing.